I'd like to start with update 936. 936. We're getting closer and closer to the 1,000. You think we're still going to make the 1,000? Anyway, 936. And I'd like to start at the very end with the work section and with the standing watch, which just was released, titled Could We Survive Another Lockdown? The summary of that standing watch program goes as follows. As a nation, we could not. The lockdown restrictions have brought us, end quote, economic catastrophe, the likes of which we have never seen before, close quote, as well as, quote, untold human suffering, close quote. And still, we hear increasingly that certain U.S. states are willing to return to lockdown. And that, even though lockdown measures have not been proven to be successful. In Germany, a huge demonstration took place last Saturday, demanding an end to governmental mandated restrictions. But Germany's government will not allow such demonstrations to continue for long. U.S. state governments resort likewise to more and more totalitarian measures. The real question for you is, can you survive another lockdown? The answer is absolutely, if you make the right decisions. And if you want to know more about this whole concept, please view our Standing Watch program. We also say in our work section that we are deeply saddened to report the death of Brett Mitchell, the father of Kalen Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell died this past week following illness from cancer. Your prayers for the family will be appreciated, because we're going to hear from Mr. Kalen Mitchell later on. He's going to leave tomorrow to the place where Brett Mitchell had lived, and he's going to stay there for a while to sort everything out. So yes, our prayers are most certainly towards you and for you. We have a German sermon posted, Die Gewissheit der Wiederkunft Christi, or the certainty of Christ's return, which was listened today by the German audience. The sermonette from last week in Germany by Christian Rosek, Nur Mut, has been posted in English Courage. And then, of course, we had the sermonette from Michael Ling from last week, Overcoming Fear, posted as well. The summary said that fear is something that has been talked about and warned about for many years. The world is in a present state of fear. Surely is. What does God expect us to do? Will we obey him and what he commands, or will we give in to fear? And then the sermon from last week, The Rise and Fall of the Beast, also has been posted. And here's a summary on that one, in case you don't remember. The Old Testament book of Habakkuk contains prophecy for our time. It predicts the rise of the modern Chaldeans under a political and military leader, the Beast, to destroy the modern descendants of the ancient houses of Israel and Judah. We're also told that God will use the modern Medes to destroy the entire Babylonian system. In spite of all the terrible warnings of worldwide destruction, the book of Habakkuk contains a message of hope and encouragement for his people and the reassurance of God's righteousness and unlimited almighty power. So if you haven't watched that sermon or any of the messages I mentioned, please go ahead and do so. And if you speak some German, you might want to listen to those messages as well. We also point out here that we have all our present and past videos for Standing Watch, for sermonettes, for sermons, promotional videos, they're all posted, both on our website and also on the YouTube channel. So if you're looking for something, don't know whether we talked about it, chances are we have talked about it, whatever it may be, you can go to the website, to the internet, do a search, and you probably will find something. Now, the editorial, going now back to the very beginning, was written by Mr. Mitchell, Kalen Mitchell, titled, Are You Awake? Of course, another standing watch I'm going to talk about in a moment asks the same question. So Mr. Mitchell this week has had double or triple responsibilities and duties. I'd like to just read one paragraph, maybe a little bit more than one, from his editorial, where he's saying, just as the prophets of old gave warning, as God commanded them to do, and no one wanted to listen, and actually tried to harm and did harm at times to some of those prophets. So we today in the Church of the Eternal God and our affiliates are crying out and sparing not. Compare Isaiah 58, verse 1. To spare not means not to hold back. The warning by the Church has been continually blown, especially louder and with more zeal as we close in on the end of the rule of Satan and his minions. It goes on to say, it's not easy to stand in the gap and in the breach. And he's giving two scriptures. It takes courage and strength. It takes wisdom and understanding. And all the things come from God and God alone. Now that's something we must never forget. God gives us that strength, that wisdom, but at the same time he expects of us to use it. And so we must use it, no matter what the consequences. And that gets me to the current events. Because in the current events, just to give you part of the summary, it says we begin with articles discussing the decision of the Trump administration to withdraw one-third of American troops from Germany. Later on, we say that we are talking about Israel's planned annexations of West Bank land. We're addressing the terrible explosion in Lebanon, which by now it's not clear what caused that. President Trump said originally that it might have been a bomb. Then he was ridiculed about that, saying, oh, it wasn't a bomb. It was some kind of an explosion because of material which was stored there. Now the prime minister of Lebanon comes back and says, no, it could very well have been a bomb. So we'll see what they come up with. We also talk about the blasphemous pardon of Assisi. Now, if you don't know what the pardon of Assisi is, you've got to read the update. And you're reading about something which is blatantly blasphemous and idolatrous within the Catholic Church, in case you needed to know that. We also talk about and have numerous articles related to the coronavirus pandemic, lots of them, as well as governmental restrictions and public reactions to the same. And we talk about violence in Oregon with quote-unquote peaceful protesters burning Bibles. That's how far we have gotten in this country, burning Bibles. We also refer to our Standing Watch program from last week titled, no, actually from this week, I'm sorry, from this week titled, Could We Survive Another Lockdown, the one which I have been talking about. Now, before I go into some more of the articles in the current events, I'd like to jump ahead and talk a few moments about the Q&A, which is the third part of a series, which actually will have five parts. We are working on the fourth part right now, and then there's one more coming after that. This is the third part. As the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, are they still waiting for a Messiah? And we already pointed out before, and we are pointing out in this one, and we are going to point out again in the next one, that Judaism is completely off, way off, when it comes to Messiah. Of course, they are rejecting Jesus Christ, that's clear. But even their concept of the Messiah is completely, totally wrong in light of what the Bible says. And we have one comment here in this Q&A where we say, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come twice. First, as a human being to die for mankind, and second, as God to rule this earth forever. Now, Judaism, at least as it's taught today, don't believe that the Messiah had to come first to die. And secondly, they don't believe that the Messiah who is going to come is going to be God. According to them, it's just another human being. So you see how terribly wrong these concepts are. And this Q&A goes into that and shows from the Bible not only why they are wrong, but also what the truth is. Now, going back to the current events and this time to the week in the news, I want to focus on one aspect here. An aspect which we mustn't overlook as something which really points at tremendously important developments. I'm talking about the withdrawal of German troops, or rather United States American troops, from Germany. In the first article we quote, we say that U.S. former National Security Advisor John Bolton is saying that this decision to remove some 12,000 troops out of Germany is a sign, and not a good one, of what lies ahead. And he's absolutely correct. Germany has to respond some way. And so here's one potential response, and that was published by Deutsche Welle on July 31. It says, Germany should do more for its own security. Defense Minister Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, sometimes referred to as AKK, said, adding she would hold talks after the summer break with the leaders of the affected German states to discuss how the Bundeswehr can support the affected regions. It wasn't immediately clear how the German military would attempt to fill the gap left behind by the U.S. departure. But the idea that the German military would be used now in civil situations non-related to war is an alarming one. Because really, if you think it through, when did this happen before? Of course, in the Third Reich, under Adolf Hitler, under the Gestapo, under these military ideas and concepts. The idea that this is being brought up now is really alarming, if you think it through. What's also alarming is the following article by Deutsche Welle, dated August 4. It says that nearly half of the people in Germany are in favor of a U.S. plan to withdraw nearly 12,000 of its troops from the European country. One in four was in favor of all U.S. soldiers leaving. Now, what's missing in this article is the reason. We point out here that it would have been helpful if the article had explained as to why almost half of the Germans are favoring the withdrawal of United States troops. The result of the poll all by itself tells us little or next to nothing. But then we are pointing out the next article which we are quoting here, which is from the Ron Paul Institute, dated August 4, which gives us some reasons. We are talking about the history of Germany and the United States and that relationship after World War II. This article points out quite a bit. Don't want to go into all the different examples here because you can read that for yourself, but I'd like to quote to you the last paragraph of that article, saying this. The deterioration of the U.S.-German relations under President Trump is not a new phenomenon, but rather a continuation of a decades-long slide which finds the two nations at odds over critical policy issues involving international peace and security, European independence, and relations with Russia. Trump's actions in ordering the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Germany are the byproduct of a dysfunctional U.S.-German relationship that has been devolving for decades. The worsening relationship between the two countries is tied to a clash between American exceptionalism and German notions for European sovereignty, which no U.S. or German leader can paper over with gestures and speeches. So regardless as to who the leadership in Germany is going to be, we take it for granted that President Trump is going to stay in office, the relationship will get worse and worse. And here we are referring to our Standing Watch program from last week. U.S.-German friendship has ended. Are you waking up? Going hand in hand with the editorial, are you awake? Many people don't wake up, are not awake, and will be caught by surprise. Now, you might recall that I also gave a sermon not too long ago about the destruction of Germany. And I pointed out that maybe the city of Berlin will be destroyed in a nuclear war, in a nuclear attack. Now, here's an article by Deutsche Welle, which was published now on August 5, and this is what that article has to say. Thursday, that is last Thursday, marks the 75th anniversary of the date the U.S. dropped a nuclear bomb over the Japanese city of Hiroshima, some say Hiroshima, during World War II, instantly killing over 70,000 people. was the first nuclear weapon ever used in warfare. And now they did a simulation over there in Germany, and that simulation examines three potential scenarios in Germany. One considers the effects of a nuclear attack on Berlin, Germany's political center and capital. A relatively small bomb with an explosive energy of 20 kilotons equals the explosive force of 20,000 tons of dynamite would kill some 145,000 people immediately. The second scenario estimates that around 500,000 people would die instantly were a nuclear bomb weighing 550 kilotons to hit Frankfurt, Germany's financial hub. And then it said a third scenario considers the effects of an attack on Germany's Büchel air base in western Germany, where the U.S. is storing nuclear weapons with an explosive force of 170 kilotons each. In such a case, the software estimated a total of 130,000 immediate deaths, with around 107,000 due fallout radiation. And so the article then points out that more and more voices are being heard saying, well, let's not only withdraw U.S. soldiers from Germany, let's also withdraw all the nuclear bombs which the United States has stored there. I was recently receiving a memo. Somebody asked me the question, do you believe that they will also withdraw those U.S. bombs? And my answer was probably not, because I can see the scenario that when the time comes, Germany will simply take them over. Think about that. Then we have a nuclear power. I mean, we have it already in Europe. France is a nuclear power. The UK is a nuclear power, but of course the UK are leaving the EU. That's not helping the EU as much unless they take over those bombs. But then Germany has already the nuclear weapons of the Americans stored right there. And they pretty much know where they are. They say it's actually at 13 different places in Germany. It's all secret, but somehow it got leaked. The point is, a nuclear war is coming. I mean, a nuclear war is coming. And yes, either it's Berlin or Frankfurt or Büchel or maybe all of those cities, plus more, will be attacked in a nuclear war. But interestingly enough, not by perhaps the United States, as some might figure. The United States is not the one which will attack Germany. Rather, it is this power block, and we have an article here in Deutsche Welle dated August 1. It says China and Iran are in the process of negotiating a 25-year strategic agreement. The deal foresees not only an economic partnership worth billions, but also close military cooperation. And it's not only Russia and Iran, because it goes on to say, well, first of all, it says that Tehran's move toward Beijing, China, is also partially a reaction to the Trump administration's withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear agreement. But the U.S. isn't the only reason. Tehran is also disappointed that the Europeans have not lived up to their economic commitments. And so you have Russia and China and Iran. Why is that interesting? Because you find in the book of Ezekiel, right at the beginning of the millennium, that these powers, Russia, China, Iran, and some other Far Eastern nations, will get together to occupy, to fight against those who are then living in the Promised Land. And we also know about the King of the East, and of course that's not clearly defined as to who they are, but if you look at what is happening in Ezekiel, it just stands to reason that, again, it's going to be Russia and China and Iran and other Far Eastern countries getting involved in a nuclear war with Germany and Europe, because that's what's prophesied. See, what we are finding in God's Word, and we have been writing about this time and again, is the fact that the Great Tribulation will start when the beast comes to power, and shortly after the beast comes to power, they will launch a nuclear attack on America, on Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, and on the state of Israel for sure, maybe even some other nations in addition. It's going to be a nuclear attack, and that's why we're asking the question, are we awake in this country? Are we awake? Are we aware of the fact that in all likelihood, in a very, very few years from now, this is going to happen? America, the United Kingdom, state of Israel will be destroyed through nuclear weapons. But we also read in the Bible that shortly thereafter, we don't know exactly how long after, it could have been maybe 2.5 years after, and there's a reason I'm saying that, a nuclear war will start between Europe and the kings of the East, Russia, China, and so on, and they will destroy Europe, as I pointed out in the sermon on the destruction of Germany. I say 2.5 years because, you know, we know that the Great Tribulation starts at a given time, and about 2.5 years or so later, the Day of the Lord is going to happen, and this nuclear attack between China, Russia, and so on, and Europe is going to happen during the Day of the Lord. So it could be 3.5 years all in all that World War III is occurring before Jesus Christ comes back. You may say, oh, that's a long time. Is it? Think about it. World War II started in 1938, ended in 1945, 7 years. In the future, it's only going to be 3.5 years. Of course, it's going to be a nuclear war. The devastation is going to be so much greater. But on the other hand, we know that it's going to be shorter. And it might not even be 3.5 years. It might be even shorter than that, because Christ says he's going to come to shorten those days. You know, the time can be accelerated. So the point is, we are getting closer and closer. And we are warning. I don't know that you are hearing those warnings anywhere else. I said that last time. It's not something to put us on a pedestal. It's something to make you aware. You know, we could give nice messages, lulling people to sleep, having a good old time in church. That's not what we're here for. We're here for to warn. We are here for explaining to you what's going to happen, waking people up, preaching repentance, because that's part of the gospel message. And the hope is that some people will repent, will change their lives, can be spared from these terrible times to come. Some will be protected. Some in the church will be protected. Others will not be protected. As Mr. Mitchell points out in his editorial, others will not be counted worthy to be protected. Let's hope you are one who's going to be worthy of protection. Because who would want to go through these terrible times of the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, a time so bad that unless Christ were to intervene, no human being would even survive. Every single one would be killed, would be destroyed, would be obliterated, would cease to exist on a physical level. Every single one. Only for the elect's sake, we read, Christ will come back to cut those days short. Make sure you belong to the elect's sake and make sure that you stay that way. Don't give up. I mean, many will fall away. We know that. Some are falling away as we speak. We know that. Some will still fall away, even in places you might not expect it. The warning is there. The one who thinks he stands, make sure it's not going to fall. So we all have to be very well aware of that possibility. Let's get close to God and let's make sure that these days don't come over us like a thief in the night.